So Tariq suggested we might, maybe people have some questions. Do you want a stool, or are you okay?
I'm happy, yeah.
Okay, maybe another discussion. I'll turn up the lights.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just wondering, with the close link between poetry and politics in the Middle East and particularly the Arab world, do you foresee there being any possibility in perhaps any of those countries of a poet perhaps achieving some sort of political power, like Václav Havel, for example, did in Czechoslovakia?
Václav Havel wasn't a poet.
Really?
No, he was a playwright. But I don't think, when I look at the poets of the Arab world, they are people who, protect their independence. They're very fierce about protecting their independence. And so for them, even politicians who they feel quite fond of, are still, they like keeping a distance from them. I can't think of a poet coming to power in the Arab world. I really can't see it. It doesn't make sense at all. Even if you had a totally democratic elections in that world, the poets wouldn't stand. It's just that's the tradition. And it was the same in Pakistan. Some of the top poets were offered by the government, would you like to become a senator in the upper house? And they said, no, thank you. It's very sweet of you to think about us, but we'd rather not.
Yeah.
Do you think that one of the reasons why a lot of this poetry that you just mentioned from Pakistan and the Arab world, the reason it's not translated, particularly in this country, has to do precisely with the fact that this publishers in this country associate poetry from other parts of the world with politics, and there's a particular analogy for politics here. Association of art and politics. I'm from Pakistan too, I know precisely from the things you're talking about. And the second issue is related to this, last year there was a report published by the UN, the Arab Human Development Report, which said that one of the reasons the Arabs were still not somehow quite where they should be culturally, politically, was because they were not translating literatures from other parts of the world. And then I did some research, and it was all over Harper's Magazine. I wanted to find out how many translations were published in this country, not including scientific papers and what have you. There were a total of 40 books published here. So, and this shows you, what people like Vernon Lewis and others basically continue to say. So, do you think that has something to do with the fact that in order to publish the poets from Iraq or the poets from Pakistan, you would have to somehow sanitize the poetry? Or what would have to happen?
Well, I don't think it's as conscious as that, to tell you the truth. Basically, English has become the imperial language par excellence now. Everyone wants to be translated into English, including the French, who never used to. Who were very proud of that. They are desperate now to be translated into English because they know unless you are translated into English, the empire doesn't even read you. So it's not just the Arab language that suffers as a result, or Turkish, or any of these other languages which produce, very fine works in fiction and non-fiction. It applies to large parts of the world. If the truth be told, very few of the native writers writing in Indian languages are translated into English. And this is part of the parochialism that has swept the Western world since the advent of what is known as globalization. The globalization, which has permitted capital to take the world, has also made the world very parochial, not just in terms of not translating or not being interested in other countries, but not even reporting what's going on in those countries until there's a crisis. So I don't think it's just to do with the fact that some of these poems are political. I'd be very happy if Nizar Kabani's non-political poems were translated. His love poetry. It's not that Saadi Yusuf has been translated by a small publishing house in the United States. Fayez has been translated. Agha Shahid Ali translated some of his poems, and they were published by tiny houses in the States. The problem with poetry is that it's by and large not recognized by big publishing houses as a popular form. So you'll see that some of the best publishing houses in terms of poetry are very small publishing houses, and they produce very, very fine poetry. So there's a general problem with poetry. Then the second problem you get, which I think all of you are aware of, is translation. It is incredibly difficult to translate poetry, you know, from any other language into English. It can be done, and some of these translations I've read are good. But I know that on The Jackal's Wedding, there were four translators with Saadi Yusuf working on the translation before they agreed a version which could be published in my book. And, you know, we had to really struggle over it. So it's not easy. This especially applies to some of the poetry of that other country, which we haven't discussed, where poetry played a very big role, which was Russia. I mean, the poetry of Mandelstam and Akhmatova was very difficult to translate. Some very fine translations have been done, but if you just compare all the different translations of the same poem, most of them are rubbish. And the Russians always say that the reason the West can't understand Pushkin is because they can't, they've never been able to translate him properly into the English language. So there is a general problem. But I agree with you, obviously, on Bernard Lewis and the stereotypes that exist of Arab culture. I mean, this applies also to fiction. I mean, one of the